I walk along the street of sorrow, the boulevard of broken dreams, where gigolo and gigolette can take a kiss without regret, so they forget their broken dreams. You laugh tonight and cry tomorrow.
Carl Sandburg once wrote in his poem, The People, yes, I am the people, the mob, the crowd, the mass. Do you know that all the great work of the world is done through me? I am the working man, the inventor, the maker of the world's food and clothes. Sandburg was paying tribute to the American worker, reflecting the esteem in which Americans hold the common laborer. But he wrote the poem in 1936, in the midst of the Great Depression, a time in which one quarter of the American people were unemployed. So how did others of the Great Depression view laborers? That's the subject of Erica Doss's commentary. Doss is a professor of art history at the University of Colorado.
In America, a certain reverence for work and faith in the work ethic has played a significant role in shaping self and civic identity from the Republican era of the early 19th century to the present day. Indeed, it is a commonplace assumption that what we do as Americans is often the most outstanding indicator of who we are. Think of how many times you meet someone and the first question they ask is, "What do you do?" meaning, "What's your job? Where do you work?" The meaning of work as a crucial moral link between individuals and public life is so strong that it can almost be considered a calling that ties individual Americans to the larger national community that is the United States of America. Given this perspective, we might assume that American art underscores this national reverence for labor. During the Great Depression of the 1930s, when one in four Americans was out of a job, a vast iconography of labor was made and marketed to the American public, aimed at persuading them to keep the faith in the work ethic. Images of rugged, manly workers dominated New Deal art projects from post office murals to public sculptures. Male American workers became physical icons of national recovery. The body of the worker as an emblem of the well-bodied American economy. That emphasis on the body is problematic, especially as many 1930s images depict partially clad or practically nude American male workers, the worker as beefcake. This might suggest the continuation of aesthetic interest in the ideal human form, mostly male, from the Greco-Roman era to the Renaissance. Realizing work was and remains the key form of masculine identity, 1930s artists depicted workers as muscular, manly bodies in order to ease Depression-era anxieties about unemployment and loss of identity. But nudity has always been a tense issue in American art, and depicting male workers as naked or semi-nude makes them vulnerable as erotic objects of the American gaze. Clothes, after all, signify status and class. Importantly, too, the male most often depicted nude or nearly nude in American art has been the Native American, an act which reduced Indians to the status of bodies and spoke to their marginalization within mainstream American culture and society. In other words, while 1930s artists imaged labor in muscular and virile terms to suggest the strength of working-class men, the representational convention of nudity worked against them. Particularly at a crucial moment when the struggle between labor and capital was at its height, widespread representation of American male workers as objects of erotic desire, rather than as the subjects of their own autonomy and agency, advanced the marginalization of the working class and helped define labor as just a body.
You've been listening to Erica Doss, professor of art history at the University of Colorado. Doss is the author of Benton Pollock and the Politics of Modernism, Spirit Poles and Flying Pigs, Public Art and Cultural Democracy in American Communities, and Elvis Culture, Fans, Faith, and Image.